Well, amen. Aren't you glad for the faithfulness of the Lord to lead us through the path of life? Sometimes life hands us things we don't understand, but God is faithful and He's there to meet every need. What a joy to be here. I thank you so much for the honor of being a part of what I think is not only a unique, but a very needed meeting. And I recognize that all of us will face some kind of challenge, heartache, burden, trial. And we need to know a lot of things that will help us to help others. But even though we help others, also sometimes God allows us to be helped in the midst of things that we don't understand. And Brother Merrick, so good to see you again and be able to be here. Thank you, Calvary, for opening your church to be a blessing to Brother Teeter and his church with the burden and desire they have for this meeting. And I'm excited, honored to be here. Good to see Brother Smith. Looking forward to hearing him. And I remember when Brother Edwards died, and there was some concern of what was going to happen to the flaming torch. And I got a phone call and said that there was an interest, and I was like, yes. And I'm so glad that the Lord put it in your lap. Anyway, and what an amazing, amazing job. And I'm not just saying that. The paper has been such a blessing and a help and encouragement. But I love Brother Smith. I'm certainly look forward to hearing him. So I want to get right into the message tonight. Let's go right now to Psalm 119, verse 92. And sure glad that my wife could be with me. Miss Pam, we're glad you're here. Psalm 119. And just one verse right now. We'll look at some others along the way. And I want to preach tonight on God will make this trial a blessing. And I want to say this tonight, things don't always turn out the way I want them to, but that's not my call. But I know this, God makes no mistakes, and I can trust Him even when I don't understand. And so I want you to notice Psalm 119 and verse 92. Unless thy law had been my delights, I should then have perished in mine affliction. Unless thy law had been my delights, he said, I should then have perished in mine affliction. Father, would you be pleased now to help us as we deliver what I believe you've laid upon our heart and certainly desire to be a help and encouragement in this conference. Lord, I thank you for how you've put this together. Lord, I pray that you would just speak to our hearts tonight, and I pray that you'll be glorified. Bring comfort, strength, grace, help to each and every one tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to point out maybe three big things tonight and a few little things and get right on into the message so that we give plenty of time to hear Brother Smith as well. But, you know, life doesn't always go the way we planned. You know, when Miss Graham and I got married, I said to her, we're not going to be like any other couple. We'll never argue. I didn't realize that sometimes she'd get it wrong. And many more times, I would get it wrong. I said to her, we're not going to be like other couples. You watch couples after a while, they'll go down the row with another couple, and the men are in the front, the women are. I said, no, we're going to stick side by side, man. When we got married, I had a Spirit of America Nova. Chevy had built it to be the first one to commemorate the 200th anniversary of America, so they built a little before 76. They built it at the end of 74. Man, I was excited to own that car. That's what we had on our honeymoon. That had bucket seats, and back then there wasn't such an emphasis on seat belts, so it had that console in the middle. She just put a pillow there, and we went down the road looking like a two-headed monster, I'll guarantee you. I mean, side by side. Now, I'm still in the same spot, but anyway, we've moved a little since then. I'm just teasing. But over the years, and I'll say something about that in a moment, sometimes life hands us things that we don't understand, things that we don't expect, curves that are in the road that at times make it seem like such a lonely road. A friend of mine had to rush to the hospital one day. There was an emergency with their child, and he said, I got in the car to get to the hospital as quickly as I could, and he said, I was in the car by myself, but I wasn't alone. And I'm so glad to know, child of God, we're not alone. He is with us, and I'm thankful for that. Number one, notice the reality of life's affliction. John Trapp, an old Puritan, said this, "One son God hath without sin, but none without sorrow." You'll never escape going through some sense of sorrow or tragedy or heartache if you live long enough. That is just the reality of life. Now, the definition, you think about affliction, you may call it a trial or a storm or a heartache, a tragedy, grief or sorrow, some affliction. But sooner or later, we find that we'll face things we would never choose for ourselves. Webster's 1828 dictionary said this about affliction. He said it defines affliction as the state of being afflicted, the state of pain, distress, or grief. He stated some virtues are only seen in affliction. I don't always understand this, but sometimes God lets us get to know Him better in the hour of heartache and affliction. Now, I want to say tonight, if you're here and maybe you've married, and our preacher talked about 18 years of wanting to have a child, and many are saying, man, I don't know how you go through that. And some that are maybe in that avenue of life, for whatever reason, God hasn't decided to allow you to have children. And by the way, that may be that will be the entire course of your life. You say, well, preacher, that's not very encouraging. But I want you to understand that God owes me no explanation about anything. I trust Him. I don't always understand, but I trust Him. We notice the description that some dealing with affliction, it may be the disappointment of having no children. I can't imagine how hard that would be. Or some go through the loss of a child or a still birth of a child that they've longed for. And by the way, it is different, men, let me say this, for us than it is for the ladies. And I'm not being critical, but I want you to know, men, the best that we try, we cannot really understand fully what a woman goes through. And by the way, and I'm not dealing with this subject, but let me just say, it makes no sense in a world that we live in that people would want to abort babies, knowing that it goes against everything that nature has put into a woman's body by the gift of God. And I'm talking about how that natural desire that God placed in them to love that child from the very moment that child is placed in them. We don't understand that fully, men. I know when we were expecting our first baby, that was when it was first getting popular to go in for the delivery. And so you had to, back then, go through a course called Lamaze. And when you go in there, they tell you a lot of lies. And I'm not trying to be unkind, but they do. I mean, they said, now, your wife may be the sweetest woman in the world, and you get into delivery, she may cuss you. She may throw stuff at you. She may say she hates your guts. And then I'm thinking, then why do I want to go in there? I'll wait in the hallway. That was a lie, by the way. She amazed me through that process of childbearing. But they also said this, that when a baby's born, if that baby is fed naturally, and I'm not going to explain that, you'll understand what I'm talking about, said even when they fill their diaper, it has a sweet smell to it. That is a lie. You know, who are these people that create classes like that to lie to people? Anyway, I spoke with three of our daughter-in-laws who have been through the loss of a child in the midst of their carrying a child, and not to use the word that we are getting out of our vocabulary, but for lack of maybe a better understanding, that experienced what we call miscarriage in our society. Three of them went through it. Two of them went through it twice. And so I just talked to them a little bit about what it felt like, what they dealt with, what they wish people would have said or not said. And you know, I'll deal with that a little differently tomorrow. But let me just say, with all of them, one of the things that seemed to run as a common theme, and I'm so glad you said this a while ago, Brother Teeter, is that there's a sense of guilt when you hear that word, miscarriage. And can I tell you something, dear lady, if you've been through that, it's not your fault. And, you know, sometimes the devil will beat you up and make you feel inferior or make you feel less than you ought to be, or somehow get you to thinking about, you know, what did I do wrong? And the reality is sometimes things happen that we don't understand. We just have to realize that God makes no mistakes. And sometimes people will go through that, and it's hard. And I'll mention more about it in the message tomorrow about the do's and the don'ts. But let me just say, with all of them, I guess I'm getting older because I'm a little more emotional. And So, you know, it's hard not to cry when you're talking to people that you love. My wife and I on conversation with them and just hearing them recount their stories and what they felt and what they dealt with and how God met the need and gave them grace and how that they learned through that experience. And so, listen, as we think about the description, it may be very disappointing to you, but I think about our own family, and certainly we're no heroes, we're no experts. Life sometimes hands us things on the road that we didn't expect. Miss Graham and I got married in 1977 in June. In October, my sister Karen, who was 2 years older than me, was killed in a car wreck at the age of 22. And I watched my parents go through the sorrow of burying a child. And can I tell you, even though it certainly was a heartache and a heartbreak, it was a lot harder to watch them as parents go through it. I watched her husband, she married right out of high school, her high school sweetheart, and they were married 4 years, and I watched him as he was facing a new challenge in life. And then I think about our first baby. We were so excited. We were going to have our first baby. And man, you know, that's just exciting. And you know, to be honest with you, you really don't know exactly what you're getting into. Children are amazing. But our first baby, my wife carried almost full term, and she was stillborn. And I don't know all the reasons for that. I know one thing. God grew me up a whole lot that night. God helped me to mature as a husband, as a father, as a servant of the Lord, and maybe to have a little more tenderness towards others. And I think about that when we had her funeral, we were just going to have a simple graveside service, and I went to the funeral home to make arrangements, and the funeral director said, "Brother Graham, we're going to pay for the funeral, and we know there's not insurance for a situation like this. We're going to take care of everything. You come pick out the casket." And my wife was still in the hospital, so I picked out a beautiful little pink casket and made all the preparations, and they did everything except for the burial plots. And let me tell you how my mind thought back then. I needed a burial plot for our baby, so I got three, one for her, one for me, and one for the baby. And, I didn't even think of life beyond that moment, because our world was turned upside down. And as we were dealing with that, the funeral director said, "The reason we want to pay for it is last year when your sister died, my son, who is also one of the funeral directors, got right with God at your sister's funeral." And he said, "God took my son, who had gotten out of church, away from God, and used your family's crisis to bring him back to the Lord. And he's faithfully serving the Lord." I don't say that to boast. Sometimes God does things in the midst of our heartaches that we don't understand. And then the doctor told us we would never have children. And boy, that was a scary thought for us. We wanted children. And I'll tell you this, my dad and Sammy Allen got together and prayed over us, and God evidently heard them, because we have 8 children. And you say, "Well, that didn't work that way for me." I'm just saying that's what God did, and we're thankful for that. And I say all that to say this, even though we have 8 children, it's still very real to us. Our daughter would have been 45 years of age this year. And on her little tombstone, it has her name, Lori LaDawn Graham. And then it says, "God doeth all things well." And I believe that. At her little funeral, my dad and S.M. Davis, as I said, did the service. And Brother Davis made a statement that, out of everything I heard that day, helped me. He said, "As we stand here today to have this service," and of course he talked about the precious gift of life, but he said, "We can say something about Lori LaDawn that can't be said about anybody else in this room. She has perfectly fulfilled God's will for her life. She's left this world with no sin, no junk, no baggage." Now listen, that may not have meant anything to anybody else, but it helped me to realize, okay, Lord, I don't know all the reasons, but I'm going to trust you. And I just want to encourage you to realize, whatever it might be, certainly other things that we go through in life, you know, sometimes we can get so focused on our crisis, we forget others, whether it's family members who are going through illness and all of those afflictions that come. And I could list many others, but I don't want to bore you with our circumstances in life, except to say that through every situation, God somehow amazed me by making that trial a blessing. I was the only boy in the Graham family. I had five sisters, and I don't mind to tell you, that's cruel and unusual punishment. You need to mix a few together for safety's sake. And you know, but I had three older sisters and two younger sisters, and my parents, from time to time, would take foster kids into the home. And man, you know, so at least once in a while, a foster child would come and it'd be a boy, and I'd feel a little hope for a moment. I remember we had two boys that came to our home. I was excited. Their names was Dennis and Roger, and they were there 2 weeks, and their mother kidnapped them and fled the state. And to this day, I don't know whatever happened to them, but I still think about them. I think about one young man that was in our home for a few years. His name was Mike, and man, he became like a brother, and then they took him out of the house, and boy, that was a challenge. And I'll just simply say this, when my brother Jeff came to our home, he was only supposed to be there 2 weeks, and my parents had already decided they weren't going to do any more fostering because my oldest sister had gotten married, and I don't know if she was either expecting or, you know, wouldn't be long, and so they're starting to get in the grandparent mode, and they said, we're not going to take any more. I said, could you just take this boy for 2 weeks? We have nowhere to place him, and 2 weeks turned into 2 months, and then finally, Mom and Dad adopted him. And man, what a blessing it was to have a brother. I'll tell you, I told Dad, reinforcements are great. This was a little late, but I appreciate it. But I learned so much even through that time in our life. I remember one day, my dad came out of the house and he said, where's Jeff? I said, he's out in the chicken house. And he went in the chicken house and a little bit later, Dad came out and he's carrying Jeff in his arms. And Jeff is sobbing uncontrollably. And so I wanted to see what was going on. I went into the house and I said to Dad after, you know, Jeff and him were through talking, I said, what in the world's going on? He said, well, Jeff's biological mother died today. They operated on her. It was supposed to be a minor surgery. They accidentally cut an artery and she bled to death. And I said, wow, he really took that hard because he never mentioned his family except to pray for them because there was no love lost. They didn't love him. They didn't care for him. But he just would pray for their salvation. But I said, he took that hard. Dad said, no, that's not why he was crying. I said, well, what was going on? He said, when I went out there, I said, Jeff, I need to talk to you. He said, he turned around immediately. He said, his lip began to quiver. And he said, I know what you're going to tell me. You're going to tell me I can't live here anymore. And Dad said, no, son. This is your home. You can live here the rest of your life. Now, one of these days, you'll probably get married and move out. But listen, you know, you're here to stay. Now, we might kick Ken out, but you're here to stay. And I said, oh, wow. His fear of being put out of the house. But he had become a Graham both, by adoption and, of course, by love. He became part of our family. But I said all that to say this. Jeff was killed in an accident at home when he was 16. Boy, that didn't make a lot of sense to me. But can I tell you just briefly that out of his death, the greatest revival our church ever saw, the greatest revival our community ever saw, was a result of my brother's homegoing. I don't understand everything that happens in life, but I'm saying this, whatever the affliction you're going through, the Bible said in Psalms chapter 34 and verse 19, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Now, you might say, well, Brother Graham, we're infertile and it seems like God hasn't answered our prayer. And by the way, don't give up. God has a plan. It may be different than your plan, but God has a plan. A couple came to my dad one day and said, Brother Graham, we heard you preach about prayer and we know that you're a man of faith and we'd really like to have a child. Wondered if you'd pray for us and said, we've never been able to have children. Dad said, I would be happy to pray. Talk to them a little bit about, you know, would they raise their child for the Lord? And they said, we will. We just want to, you know, ask the Lord to give us a child. And so my dad prayed with them and sure enough, God heard and answered the prayer. And Dad told him, he said, I believe God's going to give you a baby. Go home and make preparation. And within a year, they had a son. By the way, I didn't mention she was 40 years of age when she had her one and only child. I had to run into the store yesterday for just a moment into Office Depot, and I saw the FedEx man coming in, and guess what? That's her son who's now nearly 30 years of age, faithfully serving the Lord, living for God, married. I had the privilege of preaching their wedding, and they've got a precious little daughter. And every once in a while I'll say to him, Gary, to whom much is given, much is required. Son, God gave you as a gift an answer to prayer. Don't ever, ever quit serving God. And he knows, and he often will say to me, Brother Graham, before you say it, I know that God... God may choose, as we're going to hear about, through foster or even through adoption. God may have a different plan than you ever imagined. But all of this is to say, dear friend, that sometimes life's problems bring devastation. It can be overwhelming. Psalm 142 and verse 3, when my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. He said, in the way wherein I walked, have they privately laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No way we can. We can have the greatest plan. We can have the greatest desire. And all of those things we know are right. God has certainly brought a couple together and made them one. And he often said to raise up or to have a godly seed. So God is not against children. He's for them. And God is not against a couple getting married and pursuing a life with children. But sometimes it doesn't happen. There can be a lot of reasons for that. Oftentimes, certainly physical issues can enter into it and other things. You see, the cause of our devastation can be fear. Adversity, loneliness, weariness, dissatisfaction, or even the death of a loved one can come to bring sorrow of heart. It does hurt. You know, I'm glad Paul didn't say we sorrow not. If he'd have said that, I'd been in trouble. You say, well, Brother Graham, you're not very spiritual. If you had any tears, I don't mean this wrong. And I'll cover it tomorrow. But let me just say, we need to realize that it's not a sin to grieve. And it isn't wrong to shed difference. This devastation, we see the challenges from our devastation. If we're not careful, we can get in discouragement. Discouragement leads us to despair, despair to defeat, and then to depression, and can cause such an assault on our life. Listen, God does not intend for you or for me to live in a life of despair and depression. And I'm not here to pick on anybody or criticize anybody, but I'm going to tell you right now, God has a better plan than for us to just sit around in despair and discouragement and defeat and to live a life of depression. I can't even begin early. She was probably, if 50, just barely there. And in his hour of heartache, another friend came to preach for him to fill his pulpit. Although he was there, he was overwhelmed. His wife had just died. And the preacher preached a sermon entitled, When I Disagree with God. And what a title. And he began to preach on in his message how that sometimes God allows things or even things happen. And we would not have chose that route. We would not have made that decision. We would not have made that choice. And it was a very wonderful message. And I'm wrong. God, you got it wrong. When my father got Alzheimer's, my dad was one of the best Christians I guess I've ever known in my life. And I don't say that because he's my dad. I say it because I lived in his home and God was real in his life. And he loved the Lord. My dad got Alzheimer's. I can't tell you how many people would say to me, why would God allow your dad, who's been so faithful, to go through such a horrible disease? And I say this, dear friend, the Bible said it's appointed unto men once to die. We don't get to choose the way. I mean, in the matter, the truth of the matter, we understand that. But I want to tell you something. God owes me no explanation. And I'm not trying to be unkind tonight. We can cry out all we want to, God, why? And sometimes He'll give us answers. But sometimes we don't always get the answer when we cry out to God. We think about, as we face these challenges in life, notice secondly and quickly the reminder in our afflictions. James 1:2 said, my brethren, count it all joy. Whoa, that's a strange statement. When you fall into divers temptations, and that means when their patients have a perfect work, going through affliction, whether it was the death of our first baby, whether for some of you it's infertility, whether it might be that you had a baby and that baby died. I remember a young couple in our church, they were expecting their first baby. Man, they were excited. And of course, something happened. They discovered that she had a very, very terrible kidney disorder. And the baby came early. And I think at about 7 months, and then the baby only lived a couple days, and the baby died. And then, of course, as a result of the disease that she had, she's been through two ladies in our church, her and her husband. But upon all of that news and the death of their infant baby, and I remember when I preached their precious baby's funeral, and she had asked me, she said, "Brother Graham, would you mind if Miss Pam would come by and talk to me alone? She'll know what I'm going through." And she knew that Pam had had a stillbirth, and her baby lived just less than 48 hours, and she was able to give some comfort to her. But you know, God worked in their life at a later time, and I don't have time to tell you the story how that God brought adoption into their home, and they adopted a beautiful baby lady that was having the baby on my birthday, but hung around till after midnight, so it was the day after. But I had the privilege of preaching her wedding just a couple years ago, and her husband are expecting their first baby, and Donna and Jensen are going to be grandparents. And what seemed like the greatest tragedy in their life, God brought them some joy in the midst of sorrow. I say all that to remind you that there are others who have faced great trials. I'm not the only one. Brother Terry Rao, many years ago, was a missionary in New Guinea. Some of you may have known him. And it was a very, very hostile there. New Guinea was very rough. I talked to him on the phone one day, and he said, "You know, it's difficult between watching your son dealing with cancer and killing the rats that are running into this room." They finally transferred him over to Australia and then to the United States, where he died in his parents' arms there in the hospital at 4 years of age. I heard Brother Terry Rao preach not too long after that, and he made this statement. He said, "I suppose that I could feel sorry for myself if there was only one hospital, the only one around are people that are hurting, people that are suffering." And he said, "You know, I can choose to get bitter, I could choose to get backslid, or I could just decide I'm going to try to be a blessing in the midst of my heartache." And I didn't say it was easy, but they determined to keep on keeping on for the Lord. Listen, there are others who will face giants in life. Job faced a lot of trials in his life. You know his story. I'm not going to go through it tonight, except to say this, that when he went through all of his adversity and all the trials that he faced, he did ask the question, why? And but not only did patiently on the Lord. "Brother Graham, you just don't understand." And I do. Listen, when I was first married, man, I wanted everything to happen instantly. But then you start realizing that God is working behind the scenes to build in our life something that can bring honor and glory to Him in ways that maybe we don't understand. What about Hannah? Man, I love Hannah's prayer. And you know, she was so specific. She didn't just say, "Lord, give me a child." She said, "Give me a man child." You're talking about bold. And God heard and answered her prayer. But could I also say, sometimes God says yes. But I know this, if I'll listen to God, He'll not lead me in a wrong direction. We see the remedy in our afflictions. And here it is, and I'm done. Verse 92, he said, "Except the law had been my delight, I would have perished in mine affliction." Except thy law, or the word of God. What is the remedy in our heartache? What is the remedy when we're facing a sorrow, whether it's not being able to have children or having a child that died or going through those trials that we talked about and that have been mentioned by Brother Teeter tonight? Could I just say they're simple? But I'm telling you, 119 verse 50 said, "This is my comfort in mine affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." He said in Psalms 119:92, our text verse, "Unless thy law had been my delights, I should have then perished in mine affliction." And so we realize the Word of God makes all the difference in the world. Let me say this as I close. The Word of God comforts from fears. You know, the fear of the unknown, the what ifs. "Lord, what if this doesn't work out? What if this doesn't happen? What if this doesn't take place? Lord, what if you don't do what I desire for you to do, made for I am my righteousness." You know, and let me just say this. Sometimes somebody can quote a verse of scripture and it may not mean anything to you, but down the road, that word will plant a seed in your heart. And I don't think we should be flippant. I don't think we should be lighthearted when we're quoting the word of God. It's a very, very sacred thing. But I'm telling you, even when it's not easy, keep your eye on the book. Listen to what God said. The Word of God will comfort your fears. The Word brings clarity through what we face in life. Romans 8:28. I've heard. So what do you mean, Brother Graham? Well, standing at the casket of a loved one And somebody that you know understands at least the sorrow you're going through, and with a heart of empathy says, hey, I know this isn't easy. Let me remind you, Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them are, you know, it's a wonderful blessing. And then somebody comes by that doesn't have any sympathy or empathy, or not only that, but maybe has never faced anything, and then very lightheartedly and flippantly they'll say, well, we know all things work. No, that's not Don Green's son. And all of the Green boys preached at their brother's funeral, and the ones that were living preached at their dad's funeral. Dr. Green had his turn at Steve's funeral. Steve had been his song leader and his right-hand man for 44 years in the church. The building was packed. There were people in other rooms. They couldn't fit them all in the auditorium. And Dr. Green got up and thanked everybody for being there, for being a blessing. And then he said this, men, I want to thank you, and ladies, thank you for being here. He said, it means so much to our family that you're here. He said, but some of you, your cliches are driving me crazy. I know I'll see him again. I know he's in heaven. But he was my son. He was my right-hand man for 44 years. Would you please allow me to grieve just a little bit? And I'll give grace in the time of need. But I'm glad he understands our humanity, that we need his help. The Word of God clarifies what you face. The Word of God will bring cheer to your heart when we feel all alone. Hebrews 13:5, I remind you, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm just saying the Word of God, it'll meet your needs. And there's so many other things, even when we don't know where to go. Go to the Word of God. Let it be the source of comfort. And then, can I say, as a couple, when you face those heartaches of infertility or the heartache of losing a child, if you want to call it that, we know they're with the Lord, but our loss, of course, cling to the Word of God, but cling to each other. Don't let the devil pull you apart, but you stay strong in your marriage. And fellas, more than anything, your wife needs you to be a comfort to her in the hour of sorrow.